Well, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm just going to read one verse to you, verse 15, the last verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, my topic today is just from this one single verse, God's indescribable gift. But first, let me just explain a little bit of the context to this verse. You'll see, as we read the chapter, that it's about giving to the Lord's work. Here, Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to set aside funds, to set aside some money for brethren who are suffering in Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church were going through a famine. There were thousands in the church at Jerusalem, and there were many mouths to feed. Many of them were supported by the church, but they didn't have enough food, enough funds to support and to uphold each and every one. They were in great need. And so Paul is collecting money from different churches to send relief, to send help to the brethren there in Jerusalem. And the Corinthian church, who Paul is writing to here, they were keen to give. They were not reluctant givers. They wanted to give. They were happy to give. But they hadn't as yet given, but this was in their mind. They had purpose to give to the brethren in Jerusalem. And Paul, before he visits them, he's saying to them, have your collection. Do as you have said that you will do, so that when he comes, there will be no collection. And he could, as it were, gather what's collected and take it with him to Jerusalem. So they hadn't as yet given anything as yet, but they were determined to give it. They were willing to give it. In verse 7, he advises them how they should give. And it's a lesson for all of us in our giving for the Lord's work. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. It's by choice. It's up to you how much you want to give, he says. No one's going to force you to give a certain amount, and don't let other people dictate to you how much you give. And then he says, don't do it grudgingly. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't give it with sadness when you're giving. Don't give it with heaviness. Don't give it with a reluctance. Oh, do I have to give? Give it willingly, he says, because you want to do it. Because, not because somebody is compelling you to give. And then he says, do it cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. Do it heartily, do it happily. But then in verse 15, after he's advised them what to do, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. As if to say, no matter how much you give, no matter how well you do it, you can never outdo God. You can never outdo God in his giving, in the way that he gives. He is a bountiful giver. You may give bountifully as a church, but God has given us much more. And he cannot be outdone even in his giving. So this is what I'd like to really talk about tonight, the indescribable gift, God's indescribable gift. But what is this indescribable gift? Our first question we could ask. Is it forgiveness of sins? Is it a new life? Is it acceptance with God? Is it answers to prayer? Well, friends, all of these are wonderful. Is it heaven? Is it being a place in heaven? All of these on their own, we could say, are wonderful. They are all gifts. They're all precious gifts. But that's not the gift that Paul has in mind here. The gift that he's talking about, this unspeakable gift, this indescribable gift, includes all these things and so much more. But it is not the gift. The gift, dear friends, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 3, verse 16, you know the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. This is the very best gift that God could give, and he gave it willingly and heartily. This gift, friends, is like a key. Not a key to a single room. You just have one room and that's all you see once you get the other side. No, friends, this is a key to a house. Like a house, a fully furnished house. Once you open the front door and you have access to all the rooms in the house. You can access the dining room, you can access the living room, you can go upstairs to the bedrooms, you can go out into the garden if it's a lovely day. You have access through that one door, through that one key, to enjoy all the comforts of that fully furnished house. Just with that one key, it gives you access to every other room. Or we could put it another way, another illustration would be, imagine there's a rich man. He's a lord, shall we say, of the manor. He has a big countryside mansion. And he is very rich. He's wealthy. And he marries, he falls in love with a poor, beautiful but pure, a poor young lady. And of course, the moment that they get married, that very day, that woman, she has access to everything that her husband has. She can go into that mansion that he has. She can access his stables, his fields, if he's got those things. She can use his private jet. Everything that belongs to him, she has access to it because she is now married to this rich man. She is now connected to this rich man. And it's the same, dear friends, when you have Christ. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have access to God. You have access to all the blessings that come also with him. This is one indescribable gift. But it's actually a thousand gifts in one gift. In having Christ, friends, you have a peace with God. You have pardon from all your sin. The guilt that so often troubles us and spoils our minds, spoils our lives, troubles our consciences. That's guilt which we cannot be removed only through knowing Christ, only through trusting in Christ can we obtain cleansing and pardon from our guilt. Prayer, to know that God hears our prayer when we speak to him, that it's not in vain, that your very voice is heard by God on high. What an assurance, friends, he gives to you. You have this in Jesus Christ. In Christ you have access to his protection, to God's protection in life. You have access, of course, he'll give you spiritual life. And a new life, and of course, a place in heaven. All these things, and so much more, come through the Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds too good to be true, isn't it? And yet, this is exactly what the Bible tells us, and tells us for those who will turn to the Lord and receive him. In this unspeakable gift, indescribable. No words can adequately express it. No words can adequately describe. No language can be used to express the worth of this gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But then secondly, dear friends, this is an undeserved gift. We I think all of us, or none of us, give gifts to people who are unkind to us. None of us will give, we only give gifts to people who like us in return, who we know love us or will appreciate us. We never give gifts to our enemies. We never give gifts to people who we think don't deserve it, usually. But with God, it's something completely different. He gives us this gift of His Son, this indescribable gift, this precious gift, because we do not, even though we do not deserve it. There's nothing that we can say, I've earned God's merit. He should reward me with this blessing. We cannot say that. None of us can say that. Why, friends? Why should God give us such an indescribable gift? We never truly thank Him. We never thank Him for our health. We never thank Him maybe for our abilities that we have to run, to jump, to skip. We taste our food every day and we enjoy good food. Everybody has a very good appetite. And we have such a variety provided for on our tables every day. And yet we maybe never give thanks truly to God for it. We're able to sleep at night without disturbance. We have homes to dwell in. We take these things for granted. Or we take it to ourselves. I've earned these things. You know, I bought this home. We don't give God thanks for it. We have skills, you're able to do things, you're able to manage a household very well, you're articulate, you can speak very well, or you've got really good reasoning skills. Have you ever thanked God for these things? Oh friends, you have days of happiness, as well as we know that we live in a sad world, we know we live in a world where there are days of sadness, but there are also many days of happiness. There are many, not every day is a sad day. Not every day is a grey day. There are days even of joy and gladness. And you can say, I've had a good day today. Well, friends, have you ever thanked God for that? That you've had a day of happiness and a good day. Of course, for life. Maybe you've lived a long life. Maybe you've been preserved or saved or healed after terrible diseases. Did you ever give God thanks for these things? We never truly thank Him. Why should God give us such an indescribable gift, friends? We disobey His rules. We don't like His rules. We don't like Him to reign over us. We don't like Him to tell us what to do. We despise His authority. We want to be the king of our own lives. We want to do as we like. We fight against Him. Not only that we don't like Him, but we actually fight against Him. We tell Him we don't like His commandments. When we look at the Ten Commandments, which is His moral code for our lives, we say, I don't like His Ten Commandments. I'll make up my own. I'll generate my own. I have my own code for life. I've met so many people who tell me this. I don't need God's code. I have my own code for life. But friends, it's a code which allows people to do whatever they want to do. So their moral code allows them to tell lies. Their moral code allows them to cheat if it's for their benefit, to be unfair. Their moral code allows them to hate other people, to give vent to anger and hatred. Their moral code allows them to live in a sexually immoral way. You see, friends, what I'm just trying to show you is how we don't deserve God's gift. This is what we are like. This is what all of us are like before we come to Christ. We don't love Him before we are converted. We don't think of Him with any appreciation in our thoughts. We disrespect His name. Maybe we even misuse His name in our everyday speech. We take it very lightly. We refuse to acknowledge that He is our Creator. I've met many young people and I've asked them, where did you come from? And they say, my parents made me. Well, we know what they're saying. It's a natural response for some people. But friends, our life comes from God. He is our creator. But so many people don't want to acknowledge it. So then, since we are so undeserving, why then does God give us, still extend this gift to us? What moves him to give this priceless gift? Nothing in us, as we've said, but it's solely from him. It's from within him. God's decision to give his son comes from his divine attributes. It's because he is a merciful God. It's because he is a forgiving God. It's because he is a God who delights to pardon sin. He does it for your benefit, yes, but he does it also for his glory, because he is such a glorious person, and he is willing to even bring his enemies to himself. Well, thirdly, we also see here that God gave this indescribable gift, knowing exactly what would happen to it. Now, if you wanted to give a gift to your friend, a good friend, shall we say, and no doubt you would surf the internet and you would go from one website to another, maybe trying to find out what's the best gift that you can buy. Maybe you come up, or you can't find anything. So you decide, okay, let me take a trip to Oxford Street. I'm sure to find something in Oxford Street for my friend. He's a good friend. I want to get a good gift for that person. And you make your way on the train. You take time off work to get there. And you go from shop to shop. It's hard work looking for that one gift. But eventually you find it. You get it wrapped. And you bring it back home. And you give it to your friend. Well, if your friend appreciates that gift, it's all worth it, isn't it? You feel that that's time that hasn't been wasted. But if that gift is despised, if you find out later maybe that gift was given away, or was left on the shelf, or even worse, given away to another person as a gift because they didn't like it, oh, you'd feel very, very terrible. You'd feel bad, you'd feel hurt and angry, maybe you'd feel insulted by such an action. If I knew he was going to do that, I would never have given him that gift, we may say, to ourselves. Well, friends, God knew exactly what men would do with the gift of his son. He knew that men would not accept him. He knew what was the suffering that they would put him through. And yet, he still gave us his son. He didn't think, I will send my son, and then everyone will see the miracles that he does, and they will hear his wonderful teaching, and they will come and they will believe in him immediately. He didn't think that, because he knew that men's hearts are so hard that even though they see miraculous things, even then they would not repent and believe. He knew that his son would be rejected. He knew that men would arrest him and mishandle him and falsely accuse him and drag him from one place to another like a dog on a lead. He knew that they would spit in his face and treat him as if he were a criminal and crucify him and hate him. All these things the Lord God knew they would do with his son, that they would publicly humiliate his own son. Do you think it took God by surprise, all these things? Took him by surprise? Not at all. God knew, God gave, knowing all these things would happen to him. Would you do that, friends? If your son was going abroad to study in a foreign land, and you knew that the place he was going, he would be ostracized, People would despise him. People would call him names. His classmates would gather around him and beat him up often. And they would shame him and spit on him. Oh, every father, every mother would say, no way am I sending you into that land. You're going to stay in this country, because we would protect our children. But what about the Lord? God knew everything that was going to happen to Christ's friends, and yet he still sent him. He sent him beforehand, knowing the pain that he would go through. Why then, we have to ask, why did he still send Christ? Well, because there was no other way to deal with sin. Sin is our big problem. Sin is man's big issue, big problem. And the only way for sin to be dealt with was for God to become man and to take upon himself our nature and come into this world and die for us. An angel couldn't do it. An angel couldn't take away sin. An angel couldn't suffer for us. A fellow human being who also has sin could not suffer in our place. It needed the God-man to come. It needed a God, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven to suffer and die, to take our human nature upon himself and to suffer and die in our place, to be our substitute, to take upon himself on Calvary that punishment that was due to us for our sins, to remove that barrier between God and ourselves, so that we could be reconciled again to God, so that we could know peace again with God. There was no other way, friends. There was no other way for that problem of sin to be removed. There was no other way of reconciliation. This was the only way, that Christ must come and must suffer in the place of sinners. And that's what he did. And what we know, what terrible agony he went through on behalf of his people. Well, also, and the Lord knew that through this death it wouldn't be in vain, but that millions and millions would come to be saved through the sacrifice of Christ. And so it has been so. All who have repented, all who have trusted in Christ, and not a few, but many have come and believed in him. This is the reason, friends, why God sent his Son and allowed him to suffer in such a terrible way. So you see, this is a wonderful gift. This is God's indescribable gift for us. And for us, it's a very useful gift. You know, there are some gifts that you receive that really are useless. It's very kind that people give you a gift, but you think, well, I've got no use for this. I have no need for it. But this gift of Christ is exactly what each and every one of us needs. It's something that we can say, this is just what I needed. How did the Lord know? Everything is suited for us. Dear friends, what will you do with God's gift? What will you do with this gift that he has specially, carefully, tenderly prepared for sinners? Prepared for you. He gave it willingly. He wasn't a reluctant giver. He gave it willingly. He gave it gladly. He gave the very best that he could. You know, the honor, the best thing that we could do is to receive this gift. The worst thing we could do is to reject it, to say, I don't need it, or to despise it, and to treat it as something that is very light. Well, will you receive this gift? Will you receive God's gift? I urge you, friends, to receive it with both hands. Thank him for it. Thank him for Christ, sending Christ to be a Savior. There is no other Savior, only him. Thank him for it. Tell him you don't deserve it. Tell him that you gladly receive the Lord Jesus Christ and take him by faith. Trust only in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your sins. This is the way, friends, to receive the gift, to receive it heartily yourself, to turn from sin and believe in Christ. Well, Christ here is God's indescribable gift. Remember, he is the key to the house, and with him you have eternal life and all spiritual blessings. Come to him, friends. Put your trust in him even today, and you will find that he is true to his word, that whoever believes in him, whoever receives him, will have life, eternal life, abundant life, beginning in this world and then continuing forevermore in the world that is to come. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we once again give you our thanks and our praise that you have given us thy beloved Son. Come and work in our hearts, we pray here again this evening, and bless us and help each one of us to know the truth of these things, the truth of thy word, that you always keep your promises. Bless us, we pray. We ask in our Saviour's name. Amen.